You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca.
Golden Knights, what are your thoughts on a paper move for one team and maybe a real-life player for the other?
Yeah, I mean, moving contracts is such a big part of the league right now, and shuffling around cap space and dead cap space and all those sorts of things. I think, you know, there's a pretty good chance that this cap hit is going to move. And, you know, teams that have space or have the money or have the ability to give other teams a bit of an advantage, it's just worth a lot right now. So this is one of those cases. Paper shuffle, player moves. An addition for one. It's just one of those transactions that it's kind of not really a hockey trade, but in today's world, it sort of kind of is at the same time, I would say. Hey, it is a hockey trade, even though it's kind of not really a hockey trade.
Yeah, I think it really is a real advantage for the Habs. I mean, they got rid of this guy, Shea Weber contract, and they pick up someone who, he's a player. Like, this guy's a player, and I think there'd be a market for him come trade deadline next year.
Oh, yeah. For sure. You know, what are they? They dump...
like seven and a half.
Weber's contract for LTIR purposes, I think. And
yes.
They dump some cap space, so if you're Vegas. And I think that Dadonov is a usable player. I think he's shown he can be. Obviously, there's kind of the weird stuff surrounding him before with Vegas, so I think that, you know, a deal was going to happen there at some point. And, so I think it makes some sense for both sides. How about Vegas wheeling and dealing and moving and shaking? Didn't waste any time. Grab a coach.
No.
Jumped all over Cassidy and now move like this.
Yeah. Yeah, that team does not stop. They're perfect for radio shows and print media as well. Shogger, let's get down. You're down in Denver taking a look at the game one. What are your initial thoughts of the Avs pulling out the overtime victory over the Tampa?
Yeah, I would say we know how fast Colorado is, right? We just watched them against the Oilers. Like, this team flies. I think Tampa had a little bit of trouble in the early going with that. You know, Colorado kind of overwhelmed them with some speed. And then Tampa Bay, which is starting slow but then getting back into it. I really give Colorado a lot of credit, though, for kind of absorbing that counterpunch from Tampa Bay and then being like, no, and they stuck with it. And they find a way to win a big game. So I thought they met the moment, man. They stepped up against a vastly more experienced team. And in a big moment where there's lots of reason to be nervous, I thought lots of their guys were just really good. And they carried a lot of the play. I thought they showed up really well. And grabbing game one, I think, was really, really important for Colorado just to sort of, you know, establish that, hey, they're not going to be pushovers. They can play with this team. And I thought it was a real big, it was a victory in the series, but it was a moral victory for that team to outplay Tampa early on in the series like that.
Kadri was skating. How did his, I'm assume it's the hand issue. How did his stick handling look to you with the closer set of eyes there?
His stick handling looked like my stick handling. It's probably the way I would put that. Like, it was not comfortable. It clearly wasn't comfortable. He was trying to handle the puck, and, you know, he didn't even try and take any shots. It's like he's just using kind of like the base of his thumb. Because, you know, like, if you use your whole thumb, that's where you can kind of grip the stick and you can make the moves and weave in and out and stuff like that. But it was like all he really had was just forward pressure with the base of his hand. You could tell. There was no fast hands. There was no really moving it around. I say stick handling. It was more just skating around with a puck on his stick. So, I don't know. I just think that he took a small step because he had a stick in his hand, and he was able to at least handle a puck, but he looked a million miles away from playing in a game. Now, you know, he had surgery, I don't know how many days ago. Was it 8 or 9 days ago or something like that? And doctors can work magic come game time, but with the speed and pace of this series and the you know, the way some of the other guys are playing, I think they bought themselves a little bit of time here to just make sure they're not rushing anything.
Yeah, it's an interesting addition joined by Ryan Rashog to have this type of year. You got to get these guys out there and playing. What a luxury for Tampa Bay to know that you don't have to put Hedman against McKinnon because you've got Cernak and McDonough. All there. I mean, McDonough's a good defender, and I'm a big fan of his, but there was a couple of moments where Hedman was out there, but for the most part, it was those two guys out there, and it frees up the big man to do other things.
Yeah, I actually thought Hedman kind of had a bit of an off night. You know, I thought he was just okay. I thought that there were a couple times where, I mean, I have it in my notes, you know, Hedman under pressure, turn over twice in one shift. You know, where he would just make a play that wasn't a normal Victor Hedman type play. He's one of those guys that when he has the puck, the majority of the time he makes the correct play with it or a neutral play with it. And I thought he had some touches last night under pressure that weren't really Hedman-like. So I think he's got better in him. But I do agree. Like, McDonough is he's a good player, man, and he doesn't get a lot of the spotlight there because Victor Hedman's there. But he can play against really good players. He can. I still think when it boils down to it, when it really gets down to it, they're going to want Hedman out there in the big moments against McKinnon because he can skate with him and play with him. And it was really cool. Like, how about that first shift, eh? You see this head-to-head, you're like, oh, there it is!
I know.
Full speed in on Hedman, like, ah! And then he mishandled it. But it was so, like, that's what we've been waiting for! And I want to see more of that in this series, those two battling.
You know, I love you said because I know the moment you're talking about, but and there's no disrespect to Cernak and McDonough, but it's not the same. Like, I want to see monster on monster, right? And same the other way. Like, I want to see Kucherov go up against Taze and specifically Makar, and he did, and he actually won the confrontation pretty handily. Now, that is a sick move under pressure, but you know, those are the moments to remember. And I know that they're just a single moment in a game, but that star on star, especially forward against D, or you know, and McKinnon shooting on Vasilevskiy, like those are the moments we want to see. You know, again, no disrespect to the other guys, but that's kind of what the Stanley Cup was built up like it is now. That's what they want to see.
Yeah, big moments from big players making incredible plays. I mean, that Kucherov rush, that was insane. I mean, like, the way that sucked the life out of that building that was unreal, man. I'm telling you, because that building was, like, rocking and rolling. Everybody was happy and singing, and they sang a song during the commercial break. I don't even know the name of it. The small things. Small things.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That one. No, 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 no. That one. So yeah. What they do is they play it on the speaker in there, and the fans sing, and then they shut the music off and let the fans keep singing as they come out of commercial break. But what happened is there was like a premature drop of the puck, so the music stopped and the fans kept singing, and they finished the entire verse in unison. I don't know if you could hear it on the broadcast. It was awesome. So cool. The crowd was into it. They're rocking and rolling and singing. And then Kucherov's like, yeah, I feel like shutting everybody up. And he just, you know, just a phenomenal rush. That was against Makar and Taves that they did that. You know, Cale Makar lost his guy on that play. They turned one of the best D pairings in the world inside out on that play. So, and then they scored another quick one, and holy smoke, Strutty, like you could hear a pin drop in that building. Holy cow. The Avalanche players did a way better job than the Avalanche fans of dealing with that moment.
Now, if you're Tampa, are there any, not so much shuffling guys in and out, but movement in the lines that you would adjust?
Yeah, I mean, I think at a certain point, you're going to want Braden Point bouncing up the lineup a little bit. You know, he was on the third line, I think. That's not where he exists day to day, so he'll get some more minutes and he'll move up. I think, you know, as he becomes more comfortable and able to take more minutes, they'll move things around quite a bit. And Cooper's, he's not afraid to move things around a little bit. Their D pairings are always the same. They're just so consistent. So honestly, I don't expect a lot in the way it changes. I think Tampa's a good team at adjusting. They're a good team at evaluating and changing their game plan up a little bit. They're a smart group. They're experienced. They know how to fix their own errors and their own mistakes. They're probably really efficient as a group at analyzing, correcting, and moving on just because they've been doing it at such a high clip here for so many years in a row here. This has been a really good core group for a really long time. So I don't think it'll be a lot of like structural in terms of players moving around. I think it's just more they know the parts of their game that weren't good enough. They'll be mature about it. They'll be hard on themselves. They'll move on. And I think we'll see a better Tampa team in game number two now that they're a little bit acclimated. Like, you know, there is an advantage. And Strud, you would have done it many times over the years. I don't know what your experience was with coming out to Denver all of a sudden. You know, but John Cooper admitted it. But yeah, it's a little bit tougher for the group, you know, because Colorado's been here and they've been, you know, they've stayed here. And so, you know, they'll probably get past that with a couple more days at this altitude, getting a few more workouts in, and whatever legs or lungs were bugging them won't be bugging them the same way in game two.
Oh, it's joined by Ryan Rashard. It literally feels like you're missing a lung, right? Like it just – and that's – so I don't know if you get your body grows accustomed to it. I think you just get used to it. Like you get used to dealing with it, right? And it is a challenge. God, it was awful. Even in Calgary, you'd feel it, but Denver way more.
Well, we had
so,
to. I'll tell you this, buddy. We went to catch the media elevator up to the press box, and there was a massive lineup. So I looked at Mike Lane, our producer, and Pierre LeBrun, and we're like, "What are we doing here, fellas?" So there's a set of stairs that went all the way up to the press box. And we're all in full suits, carrying heavy backpacks. But Strutty, I led the way, and we did it. We did it in the mile-high altitude in that air. And we made it up to there. I got some video of it. I'm not going to tweet it because it looks like all three of us are going to pass out. But we made it all the way to the top. So I know what the Tampa Bay Lightning were going through last night, and it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, exactly. What, either chasing or being chased by Cale Makar or MacKinnon or name pick your star of the 20 that are out there for that for that series. Just one last one here. Bring it back to home with Ryan Rashog. The way the NHL is handling the Evander Kane arbitration between he and Sharks. I was talking about it earlier.
Did you go
I feel
on a rant?
It's,
today?
Well, I did already. I already did. I got Struds.
Did you do it on the show?
I did. I got Struds off my chest. I was fired up. So, you know, as you're a little more maybe level-headed than I am, but I feel that it is very, it's just not the way you handle a situation like that, because I think it affects the player, it affects the Sharks, obviously, then any team or any teams, they're looking to sign this guy with these question marks up in the air. Is the NHL, I almost feel like they're being too casual about it. What am I missing here?
Well, I don't know if, like, it's not like these are NHL employees, and it's like the NHL just needs to, you know, schedule something, and they're not. I mean, they're part of a system. They're part of an arbitration system. So if you and I want to go to arbitration, there's certain people we can get to do that. There's certain systems in place, and you and I have to get in line like everybody else. It's not like they can just, you know, pay a little extra money and get the MRI done tonight, you know, in the medical system. It's like they had the one, if you recall, they had the one. And then it turns out there needs to be another one. So yeah, they're gummed up in a system that probably is generally pretty gummed up, and it creates an uncomfortable timeline. Like having to push this thing potentially past July 13th, that's not ideal. But the NHL, and I talked to Bill Daly about this yesterday, the NHL, as far as they're concerned, Evander Kane's like, he's free to sign with the Oilers now. He's free to sign on July 13th. He can do whatever he wants. As far as they're concerned, he's a free agent. Now, if an arbitrator says, no, sorry, on July 14th, sorry, Evander Kane, you're right. Your contract shouldn't have been terminated. Way to go. You're a San Jose Shark again. Whatever contract you just signed, it's terminated, right? So he's still free to go out there and do these deals. It's just a kind of in peril based on that decision. And to your point, that leaves a lot of things floating out there, a lot of big decisions, right? Can you imagine a team taking the risk of signing Evander Kane in free agency and not going and getting somebody else?
Yeah.
Only to find out that the arbitration award, you know, went to Kane and he ends up back with the San Jose Sharks. Are you kidding me? So it really gums up the system here.
Yeah, and I think it makes it really hard for teams to sign him longer term. I wonder if that affects maybe his relationship with the Oilers, because maybe it's a little bit easier. It should be resolved. And I get that they're part of the system, but I think that's a question should be asked prior to. Say, hey, you're your arbitrator. What's your availability in June? You know, like, yeah. And things come up. Maybe, I hope to God, it isn't like a family emergency or something like that. But my goodness, it is just
okay,
a mess.
Okay, but think about this, though, Struds. But think about this. So you say, what's your availability in June, right?
Yeah.
What if the Oilers make the Stanley Cup final? What if the guy's like, yeah, I'm available June 16th? And now the Oilers are in the Stanley Cup final, and Evander Kane has to what? So what does that look like now? And you know, like I guess pushing them to July made a certain amount of sense because the Oilers didn't know how deep they were going to go in the playoffs. And so they could, like they said, he's not available in June. There's still July 1 to July 13 for them to sort something out. And if the hearing being ends up being on July 7th and the decision on July 9th, well, that's okay. The Oilers still have a window with all the information they need to make their pitch and make their offer before anybody else gets a chance at it. So if the arbitration hearing hasn't happened past July 13th and Bill Daly alluded to that possibility, then I think every ounce of your frustration is warranted.
All right, we'll leave it there. Shauger, thanks a lot, buddy. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
All right, sounds good, pal. Have a great night.